We welcome you back to the Two Guys Named Chris Show. Lisa Lanier is our official attorney. The segment is called Lawyer Up. She joins us every week at this time to go into several legal cases, including a great email from a P1 this week. I'll tell you this, though. Dave had a question. This is about women's... And this is not nothing to do with the law, but we can ask Lisa about this.
Are you sure you want to do this?
Are you sure this is what... I didn't mean for it to
it's
come
not
here.
Appropriate. You're
this
right,
may not
appropriate.
Be the forum. No, she's a professional.
It's inappropriate. She's a pro, but I'm going to ask her because she's so great. This is Dave's question now. We were talking about, hey, Lisa, how are you? Good to talk to you.
Good morning. I can't wait for the question.
I don't know if you heard this, but women at Wimbledon are now going to be allowed to, instead of wearing all whites, they can wear dark underpants because if they were having their menstrual cycle... They said it was, you know, embarrassing. And
well, it made them nervous.
Made them nervous.
Could be an issue.
And they would actually skip their menstrual cycle intentionally, which was news to us that you even could, during Wimbledon week, during that two-week period they could be there, the fortnight. So then Dave said off the air.
Yeah.
Words that hung in the air.
That you had no answer for.
And we're going to ask you because you're a woman, okay? Are you prepared for this? We're going to ask you.
I'm ready.
Can a woman urinate with a tampon inserted? This is a serious question.
Oh, my gosh.
Lisa, you're not going to do this in court, are you?
Order. Point of order.
Two different holes.
Oh, okay. Two different things. She says two different things.
See?
Okay.
Two different holes. Okay, little pee hole. Little pee hole. Then the hole where the tampon goes.
Okay, all right.
Just sure. Pretend we're pre-adolescent boys.
Okay, that's it, Lisa.
Which one has the teeth?
Lisa, I want to thank you for keeping this above board. Thanks for not embarrassing us.
Yes.
All right.
She's laughing loudly at us.
That could have gone badly.
She's laughing at us.
We could have been embarrassed by that. Do you know, the last time something that embarrassing happened, this is years ago now. I've told this before, but once we were out of, you may not know this, Lisa. Chris Dim and I were opening a water park, an official opening of a water park. It was Memorial Day weekend, you know. And we were out there with a lot of dignitaries, a lot of the...
The big bosses from the water park company and our company.
Yeah.
As well as media.
Tons of media. They had added some rides.
Yes.
You know, it's a big deal. We were out there. It was huge. They cut a ribbon on a ride. All this kind of stuff. And I was wearing a stark white Two Guys Named Chris t-shirt. And a guy who worked for the Fox affiliate... Actually, his name's Jeff Varner. He was pretty famous at that time. He was on Survivor. And then he was working for the Fox affiliate covering the festivities, came up, and we had met him a couple of times, and he came up to me in front of the radio station dignitaries, in front of the water park dignitaries.
Power circle.
The mayor.
Cameras.
Cameras rolling. And he came up and said, "Hey, Jeff, how are you?" He goes, "I'm good. You got a giant pube on your shirt."
Oh, my.
And I was like, ha, 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 ha. He goes, "Seriously, dude, you got a giant pube right there on your shirt." And I looked down at it, and he was laughing much as you laughed when we asked about the urination and Minzy's question. Uh-oh. And I picked it off while cameras, you know, all the... the clicking of, I picked it off and, you know, took it over to the trash can.
While the other even more powerful people kind of made awkward conversation. Should be a nice weekend. Yes.
You
beautiful
guys,
weather all day, all weekend long.
Oh, you guys got lucky this weekend.
And that's why we can't get real celebrities.
That's right. That's
or
right.
Dignitaries.
And that's when Chris Dim said, "Boy, Jeff, that could have been embarrassing. I'm glad you pointed that out." That was that type of reaction when you laughed at our question, which was so serious.
Well, you know, I know Jeff. I went to high school with Jeff. You know, his Survivor days, you know, he's not known for his discretion.
That's right. So,
that is a fact.
I forgot you knew Jeff. That's exactly right.
Well, if you ever see him, tell him we said hey.
Please.
Oh.
And please tell him that pubic hair comment.
It's like, still in the water park.
Hit like a fist. Yeah, it's still there. They roped it off.
Yeah. Well, nobody wants to touch it.
It's,
well, you know, they're probably like
the Hall of Fame.
I never go away like cockroaches.
Right. Oh, yeah. Just right there. An email
you
from. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You know, I have to give you one more little piece of that anatomy lesson. There's a third hole where the poo comes out, just so you know.
Lisa. Lisa, please.
Is this the Fun Time Friday part?
My God.
Yeah.
This is worse than our Hootie and the Blowfish contest, which was terrible earlier. All right. Let's get to some legal issues. Yes, an email from a P1 named Lawn Chick 22. Lawn Chick, like mowing the lawn. She says, a bit long here, but an interesting email question. She says, I took my 2003 Toyota Tundra to a trusted body shop, one that I've used a number of times over the years. Really good guy, does great work. The job was to remove all the dents and paint it. I have over 300,000 miles on this truck. I love it. It's in top-notch shape, except it needed a paint job, needed the dents taken out. I wanted to make it look showroom new. She says, now, I don't have the luxury of an advertiser like some guys who have an Acura to fix their...
Oh, that's pointed. That's right at you.
That's a slap, isn't it? Yes, that is pointed. So I, of course, have to pay for this job. The deal was he'd paint it when he had time, since this is going to be out of pocket, no insurance, of course. And he said he'd just get to it when he gets to it. I said, okie doke, that sounds good. Trust him. Have used him before. Well, around the time I dropped it off, apparently he became quite busy. So much so that this one-man operation had to hire a second person to help. Long story short, he's still in possession of my truck. I dropped it off in December of 2020. That's how long he's had my truck. We're closing in on 2 years now. My truck is in his possession. Got no contract. Not an exact amount he's going to charge me. He's a great guy. I've always trusted him. I've called him many times. He's like, I'm just too busy. I'm too backed up. I can't get to it. The estimate was ballpark. It was verbal. Apparently, he's so busy, he's been able to get to the dents. They've been removed, 50 small dents, and it's been sanded down for painting, and the body, the bed, part of it has been painted, but he's still got to do the front and then put it all together. And the last time I saw it, it was in three different pieces. That was interesting. When they did my Acura, we'd go over there. It was all over the garage. Yeah.
I remember the photos.
Disassembled.
That's what they do. They disassemble it. It's like, I mean, I didn't know how they're going to put it back together. They did. I mean, really something. She says, I've had to turn in the tags and drop the insurance because he's had it so long. I just want the job done to get my truck back. I'm sure I'm going to have to take it to my mechanic now once it's done because he's had it for 2 years. It's just been sitting for 2 years. I think it's going to need gaskets, belts, etc. She's going to need points, plugs, all of those
things. Won't start.
I don't even want to think about all that stuff. Is there any recourse? I want to hire a heavyweight here. Let's go to Lisa Lanier and see what she has to say. What do you think, Lisa? That is an interesting question, but she has no contract or anything. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I mean, when you take a car in like that, you don't typically have a written contract. I mean, usually you'll at least get a printed estimate. But even that, they often, you know, go way beyond that because they find other problems and that sort of thing. So I'm not concerned that she doesn't have a written contract because the verbal agreement, as long as she had a price in there, and there's a reasonableness clause that would just be built in by operation of common law. This two-year thing would be unreasonable. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, so he's breached the contract, but she wants her truck, right? She doesn't want to have to take him to court, I wouldn't think.
Right.
I mean, that recourse is ultimately, small claims court is her ultimate recourse, and I've actually posted a link on my Linear Law Group Facebook and Instagram if she wants to go there. It's a guide that's put out by Legal Aid of North Carolina. It tells you step by step how to take somebody to small claims court, do it yourself, and if she can't work it out, that's her ultimate recourse, but I would think she wants to work it out. And from the tone of her email, it sounded like they're friends, like they've known each other a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what I would do, like if you know the guy, you know, like he drinks Bud Light or something, I think I would take him a six-pack of Bud Light, and I would say, look, man, this is really, it's gotten out of hand. It's jeopardizing our friendship.
Mm-hmm.
It's really not fair to me. Let's set a deadline. Maybe, you know, maybe he's concerned too. Maybe he has concerns that he's never going to get paid or that he hasn't in 2 years had any payment. You know, so maybe hear him out a little bit about it. See if he can set a deadline. Maybe offer to make him, you know, a small payment for what he's done so far. Something to figure out where this went wrong. Because somehow along the way, it sounds like something went wrong. Not just that he's busy.
How can he be that busy for 2 years?
Right, exactly. Yeah. I think there's more to it than that. I think maybe he thinks that, you know, she's trying to not pay him or trying to get something for nothing. You never know. I don't know what his story is.
Interesting.
But I would try to work it out. If she cannot ultimately work it out, she would succeed taking him to small claims court. But, I mean, what's the, you know, the ultimate value of a car, that truck, that age with that many miles, maybe, what, about $6,000 or $7,000?
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's, if he gave it back to her, you know, I don't know what kind of shape it would be in. It's just not, it's not something that's worth hiring a lawyer for, because you have to pay lawyers. That's why I say, if ultimately, if you need to resolve it in court, do small claims. Go that route. Follow that guide.
All right. Small claims. But before that, just kind of...
Bud Light Summit it.
Bud Light Summit, exactly. Or and pay a little bit. Oh, you've taken the dents out. Let me pay for that part
of it. Pay for that and then have it towed. You know, get one of those tow back trailers and get whatever you can on it, the pieces, the parts, and take it somewhere,
Take it somewhere else, I guess.
Eventually, it's going to go there, I think.
I mean, it's taken that long. We have a mechanic.
She's going to need plugs, points, bearings, valves, rings, starter switch, ignition wires, water pump, fuel pump, oil pump, clutch bearings, clutch plates, brake lining, brake shoes, brake drums, radiator hose, and radiator hose cup.
All right, so no big deal there.
That's all good.
Get that down, that's right. We talked earlier this week, too, about a video game, just kind of a startup video game guy, who has started a game called The Store is Closed and released a preview for it, kind of a trailer for it. It's based in the... in England, a guy named Jacob Shaw. He came up with this idea of being stuck in a furniture store that is closed. He has raised a ton of money to get the video game out there on Kickstarter. Well, IKEA got a look at it and said, wait a minute, this looks a lot like one of our stores, an IKEA store, and they say he's breaking copyright law. Now, he never mentions IKEA by name, but it's, they say, well, it's obvious it's a Scandinavian furniture store, and that's what we are. What, who wins here? I said earlier this week, I think that they will big lawyer them to death, and that this guy will be able to find them. They did.
Yeah, they already did. They did. Yeah, the $40 billion Scandinavian furniture company sent cease and desist letters, and they've already worked out a deal. So the video game does look just like IKEA. It has a yellow and blue sign, just like IKEA.
Mm-hmm.
It's laid out like IKEA, and it sells Scandinavian furniture. So, I mean, it is pretty much like Mayhem and the IKEA, you know, instead of the store's closed.
Well, if you say so.
Yeah, this guy, he's just raised like $64,000 to launch this thing. He does not want a big lawsuit with $40 billion IKEA.
Mm.
So he has already agreed to make modifications. He's going to change the sign colors. He's going to change the layout a little bit. He's going to make it obvious that it's not IKEA. And so it'll all be resolved, no lawsuits.
Yeah. That's, you know, but let's say if they had taken him to court, I mean, let's say he had the money to fight, they'd win, do you think, because it looked so much like an IKEA?
I don't know. I actually think he might have won. There's a bunch of cases that say your trademark, if it's in a completely different industry and it's not making people think that they've endorsed this product or anything, and there's not going to be any brand confusion.
Mm-hmm.
There are actually a lot, like they don't have a trademark on Scandinavian furniture. There's lots of Scandinavian furniture stores. And they don't have a trademark on the colors blue and yellow. They only have them in that configuration, which these people did not, you know, they didn't use the word IKEA.
Mm-hmm.
So he may very well have won, this game maker, if he had fought it, but he just couldn't afford to fight it, I'm sure.
Well,
so he just changed it.
That's a problem for me.
Seems like if nothing bad happens in the game, it's not murder.
Well,
anything,
it is. No, you're
murder.
Okay. It's murder.
And that would play into it, too. You wouldn't want that in your store.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. That's the thing. You're running from, like, killers and monsters and stuff in the game, so that's it. Yes.
Yeah, nobody wants to just shop in a game.
Well, there are these games that people build stuff, and they build furniture.
This game is terrible. This is just going like going to IKEA.